Next, we're going to move on to make promises. After introductions have been made, write a promise on your sheet for each of the prompts. These prompts will each include one of the other protagonists in some way. You'll earn experience during play by working towards keeping your promises. The players should share their promises as they come up with them, so everyone knows how the protagonists feel towards each other. Conflicting or impossible promises are an enduring source of drama, and reviewing each other's promises will help the group spot opportunities for tense or revealing character moments once the story gets going. But a promise is an in-character statement, a belief about something you will do or will never do because of how you feel about another character. These promises aren't necessarily something your character has ever said out loud, at least not to the other character, but they are conscious beliefs that guide their actions. Each promise relates to a specific protagonist, and you should pick a different character for each. Playing towards these promises will earn you XP at the end of the session. You don't need to fulfill them necessarily, and many promises will be too big or too complicated to ever cleanly resolve. Often a character's efforts to keep a promise will meet with complication or failure. What matters is that we see all that in play. If circumstances change or your character has a change of heart, you can rewrite or replace promises during the fallout phase or between sessions. You do this, tell the other players about the new promise and the reasons for discarding the old ones. So, I guess let's start with Lou. What are your prompts?
Just let me go to that page.
It's a forgotten promise or a paradoxical promise. One promise must involve your fated person and their fate. And so that's going to be related to your move, basically. So, if you've ever played a game with beliefs, I know at least one of you has. These are a lot like beliefs, but instead of just like something you believe, a promise is more like action oriented. Like, I will do this or I will never do blank. Instead of just like in other games, a belief might be like, I think power is the most important skill above all. That might be like a reason you make a promise. And because of that, I will never let blank come into harm. I will always be in the way of harm for this person. And that's more what a promise is compared to a belief.
I know it will help you interact with people, but it doesn't have to be specifically about a person, this promise, or it does?
So each one does have to be pointed towards one of the other characters.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yes. So you have to make two promises. And if we had more than three players, then, you know, you might not have a promise towards every player. But because we have three players, each of you will have one promise for the other players.
I have a request to help me with forming mine.
Sure.
Could I get a little bit of information about, like, who Argus and Anna are outside of, like, their role? Like, what they... If we're all childhood friends, right? We all grew up together. What do they like? What do they fear? Or what did they at one time? To the point, like, what sorts of things would Tiffany know about them, right? Growing up together and then going off and going to school for several years away and coming back, what preconceptions would she be carrying? I guess I can start by telling you what you'd probably think about Tiffany or what you know about her. She is very driven to explore and discover, extremely curious, always had her nose in a book, and was probably therefore like didn't fit super well into this this society that more values asserting oneself, because she was far more interested in just sort of sitting back and engaging in that curious empathy that we talked about earlier. And she chased that, went off to study meteorology, to learn about storms, and came back not disillusioned like at all, but certainly frustrated by the inability to pursue that beyond having studied it. So driven, scholarly, bookish, nerdy, like all the things you're probably thinking, but also very kind, very warm, very, very gentle and sweet. Prone to, like, when she upsets people, it's because she's not thinking about the things she's saying, not because she's trying to be mean. Also, she's probably known to be a bit reckless. When things interest her, she'll just wander off and investigate them. Certainly in the resource gathering thing, the people who look out for others know that she's useful, but a bit of a problem.
I'm kind of struggling. I do want to make... I think the problem with making very shy characters is I struggle how to, like, pick what things are going to shine through or something. But I think what might work out is, because these people were childhood friends, maybe perhaps before you left for school, you knew Argus pretty well, and he was relatively friendly and very nature-oriented, very curious about the natural world, and probably bonded with you in that type of study while you had an interest maybe in studying lots of phenomena. Maybe you shared a love for the types of things, like nature, that existed in this world. I think once you came mm-hmm. back from school, like, I'm going to say, like, in the period you were gone was when Argus underwent the quote-unquote change of some type. Mm. And so when you returned, he was pretty, like, shut down, pretty withdrawn. And so maybe the relationship is different now. I'm almost considering, because you're the unlikely hero, right? That's your...
Yeah.
Like, that might work well.
As far as she or anyone is concerned, mm-hmm. she's basically nobody.
Right. But maybe not to Argus.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that Argus is aware that yeah. there is some destiny here.
I kind of want to plant that just so, you know, either maybe you feel that connection or you don't. It would be kind of fun if you were completely oblivious to it in the beginning or something, but I think that's all I got. Does that help at all?
Yeah, I think so. So,
yeah, if you keep asking questions, ideas. I think I'll, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so my first thought then is, so if he has been much more withdrawn since she came back, which has, I think, only been a year or two.
Okay.
Like, it's really not been that long. Probably feels some kind of distance and has no idea why. I like the idea of Argus being aware of some import of Tiffany, but Tiffany having absolutely no clue of that. And that being the case, plausibly, Argus could know Tiffany's true name, in which case I'll have to come up with that shortly and give it to you, which sure. could be fun. Yeah.
I have
thoughts. I want to know more about Anna before I decide on the promise that I make involving Argus.
Yes, agreed.
So I want to know what the dynamic is between yeah. Tiffany and Anna.
Anna had moved away when they were kids, moved back in the past 3 years, and is living with cousins right now. Family is still alive and well, just live in a different town. She's sort of committed to supporting other people. So they're like, the two types of promises are a shared promise and two conflicting promises. And so I see that as being tied to what bonds of friendship would be like. So a shared promise would be something like, we'll do this together, we'll complete this together. And I see his drive as being something that's like very committed to people, but also pulled by the universe, and that can sometimes lead to being flaky or being a little bit unreliable with long-term things. And so maybe it's knowing that there's a commitment to something that's long-term that may not be achieved, or, you know, just general, like, interpersonal wellness, which she's committed to, but might be harder to actually keep up since humans and whatever species are independent things, independent creatures, and make their own choices and go off and get hurt in their own ways.
Question I'm approaching Anna when they were younger. Mm-hmm. Was Anna from a young age like an any all pronouns, harmonious, collectivist individual?
I think,
or is that something that changed between moving away and coming back?
I think that's something that's always kind of been present, that there was no real distinction for them. I think it was sort of a very androgynous person got gendered by other people in different ways all the time and sort of just never really registered that there was much significance to it. And so half tomboy, half tom girl, cool. That's just an aspect of it.
Can I get some thoughts while we wait on what a forgotten promise might mean? Like, did I forget the promise? Did someone else forget it? What do you think?
I think it could be either way, I think.
Their third option?
What is more interesting?
There is.
A promise that will be forgotten?
Yeah. One that is significant in the future, but is not understood to be significant now. And so it's a very, like, I need to make sure this actually happens, but...
That might be more a paradoxical promise.
Oh, yeah.
Though.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So then.
Is that the second type?
Yeah, those are the two I have.
So a forgotten promise might be like, if it's you, right? Like maybe it was a promise you made before. I don't know what you want to call it. Before the time traveling thing happened.
And then I forgot.
Like
it.
What if it was overwritten or something?
Sure. I kind of like, you know, having the quote-unquote sight, like, you know, doesn't mean that he remembers everything. It could be, like, a cause for confusion, perhaps, or... Anyways, yeah. Thank you for that. I will think on it a little more.
If it's slightly easier, it might be easier if it's a promise someone else forgot, because this is going to be a guiding principle.
A promise
Like, we make promises, and they do guide, like, even if we forget the promise, it's like we made that for a reason, and like we can think about why we made that.
It also could be a promise that has yet to be made, but like it could still be guiding it, you know, it's you will make it, and therefore you have made it. But
in that sense, making a promise as a child, like, oh, we're all gonna do blank, and then in the future that Argus is from, that doesn't happen, or that does happen and it goes wrong. Like, that's not paradoxical. That's just informed, right?
Who are people thinking for which one? Do people have, like, an idea?
I think I have even, like, a naive promise that I'm ready to make. I think I promise I will show Argus how to put it? Like, essentially... I will get Argus to re-engage, but not in a, like, you're wrong for not engaging, but, like, I will show the beauty and the joy that you're missing by having pulled back in the way that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That
yes.
makes sense?
Yes, it does.
Time traveler, we have a shared promise.
Yeah.
I kind of like the idea of it being, we'll make it to the center of a storm.
Oh, that's helping me. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
My girl will be so sad to learn that the two of you promised that and left her out. Like, she is so in on storms.
So, okay. I have a thought. It is not fitting into either of my categories right now, but I'm going to say what I want my promise to be, and then you all can help me shoehorn it somewhere. Does that sound good?
Right. Massage it.
Oh.
Perfect. Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Do you have more to say, Riley?
Oh, I was going to say, actually, that might make sense then to shift it so that the shared promise is with Tiffany, and then as a conflicting promise with your character, something about the same thread.
Oh, well, let me tell you what
I'm
thinking.
Yeah, go for it.
I was thinking about it earlier, and then when he brought it up, it reminded me, a forgotten promise that I forgot about, is it Anya? I can't remember. Anna?
It was Anna. I like Anya. So.
Oh, it's Anya. Okay.
Yeah. I just updated it with an Anya.
Because I was thinking it would be like, I would follow Anya into anything. Like, or I would follow Anya into the direst of situations or otherwise. From the knowledge that you are such a strong navigator, and probably we worked maybe before you left or after you returned, like you're the fact that you have a sense of direction, both maybe metaphorically and physically. And so the promise is something like, I promise to follow Anya into whatever awaits them or awaits us. Is that too vague? Or
I mean, you have a forgotten promise and you have a paradoxical promise, was it?
Correct.
See, that's why I was thinking it makes sense for the two conflicting promises, because I think that would be one where there's the overlap. One day we'll find out what's in the center of the storm, and I promise that I will stay safe. These are two very conflicting things that tie into that forgotten promise of like following anywhere and making a promise of like you will follow, but now you're aware of consequence.
Yeah, so I can see that like, being paradoxical for me also being like I would follow you anywhere, even knowing if it would end in or I would follow you, I would protect you, but by following you, it could be preventing your protection or something. Like, say I knew your choice to go into the storm would result in something catastrophic. But the paradox is that...
The book does have an example of a paradoxical promise, if you want.
Would you mind reading that to me? Somewhere else in
the... I'll show Fallon the way things were and can be again.
The way things were and can be again.
Marcel, is that you?
Shut up.
How is that paradoxical?
I don't know. Like, but I think we need to not agonize over these as much.
You're right.
I think is the point.
Okay.
Question for Anya. What does Anya want? Or what does Tiffany think Anya wants? Like, biggest picture.
Anya is one who's kind of living in the moment and wants love, and that is priority number one, and that is falling in love with too many people and also caring too much about other people. And so I think it's probably that they want to be everything for everyone. They want to be like what people want her to be, kind of caretaker trauma, but like more out of a like big heart than anything else.
What does Tiffany know of that desire?
Probably that Anya doesn't realize that other people don't necessarily view love the same way, and that gets them into trouble. I think it's my friend doesn't realize that they're breaking other people's hearts by trying to live up to expectations, but also like not understanding what those expectations are.
Okay. I'm trying to find, because I need to make an impossible promise involving Anya. And it doesn't have to be one that Anya knows necessarily. It has to be one that involves Anya. And I essentially am wanting to find a sweeter way of saying, essentially, I will be Anya's best wingwoman. Like, I am going to help him get all the love, basically.
I mean, like, you just be like, I'm going to make everybody fall in love with Anya.
Yeah, but I mean,
clean up the messes.
Oh. No, it's not about cleaning up the messes, because I think Tiffany sees Anya's loving nature as something worthy and good. And so it's not I'm going to clean up these messes in a responsible way. It's I'm going to show the world how beautiful Anya is. Which does mean that I have two very similarly sounding promises, but
I think they are different in that you're trying to like spread the good word for one person, and then for the other trying to
the world the beauty of one, and in the other I'm trying to show one the beauty of the world.
Yes, so well
said. So it's interestingly complementary. I have two very, very similar and yet completely different promises. What do people promise me?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I promise. Shoot. Okay. So first I'll go over to my fated special ability because I want to put that to bed right now. So I traveled through time to change another protagonist's fate. What perilous fate are you here to prevent? Whose fate is it? I'd say I'm in the process of that, but I'm going to say I decided to make Tiffany my fated person in that while Tiffany was away, I was visited by the site or whatever we're going to call it. I saw you embroiled in something greater in a future conflict. I don't know if I want to define what that is now or keep it a secret or just make it an open secret at the table. I'd love to hear people's thoughts on that.
I think open secret because it might not be true.
True. Okay. Ooh.
Right? Because it's what the fate is, not necessarily what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's what would happen without this intervention.
What would happen without the intervention? Of course, right. I'm imagining something bad. Like either you are a scapegoat or a sacrificial lamb or something.
I really hope it's something that I get myself into. Yeah. Deliberately or not.
Deliberately or not. Okay.
But like with the whole worth saving being the first thing I take, like Tiffany throws herself into whatever is going on.
Yes. Maybe then.
You can be somewhat vague.
Yeah. But pretty much I see maybe perhaps your death or something, or your fall from grace or something like that. Oh, it's always back to the thing. Is it worth to, as it's said in The Dark Knight, you know, seeing someone become a villain or die before becoming a villain, you know, what's it going to be?
Die a hero.
Are
a little
you saying
long
that you saw
villain?
Tiffany become evil?
Yeah. Tiffany became Two-Face and then, you know, that's what happened. But, no, I don't know.
Look, like, I mean, I'm down to have that in her. Like, go for it. Give me what you want.
You
I'm
got that
so
dog
ready.
In you? Okay.
What if you saw Tiffany corrupted by the storm?
Corrupted, dead, I don't care. Tell me what it is and I'm ready.
Yeah. Fated to be corrupted into some type of figurehead by the...
Oh.
A figurehead by the, you know, maybe incoming political faction trying to take over or something. By the incoming...
She's going to become an evil power of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A little,
little Patrick Starr moment. I love that so much.
Incoming political faction. Okay. My promise is a forgotten promise. It's going to involve Tiffany. Perhaps a promise we made as children before you left. Do you think Tiffany's one to forget things in excitement or otherwise, or no?
I think Tiffany's brain goes in 100 directions at once and sometimes things fall out, yeah?
Sure.
I think she's generally got a good memory, but it's entirely possible that like this promise was a thing and she went, yeah, cool, neat, and it meant way more to you than it did to child Tiffany.
Yes, sure. Let's put it that way, you know? I'm not sure. I need a little help. Any suggestions from Claire or other people?
It's a forgotten promise for Tiffany.
What promises do kids make to each other? My
first thought for a forgotten promise, and it is different. So, like, if you want to stick with a childhood promise, absolutely fair, and we'll go back to that. My first thought was, it is a promise that the Argus of the distant future makes to a post, like, or a during tragic fate, Tiffany. But that's totally different. I just needed to voice that thought, and then we can go back to thinking about childhood promises if you prefer that.
Oh, I like that. I
do
like kind of
combine it and be like, I promise we'll be friends forever.
Yeah.
Like, nothing will stand between us. You know, it's kind of a child promise that kind of connects to, like, I'm not going to let you get corrupted.
Mm-hmm. I think there's one, it's like, I won't let you get corrupted, or I will stand in your corruption, or... I will prevent your corruption at any cost, even if it is...
I'd rather be corrupted than see Tiffany corrupted. I don't know if that's the kind of person Argos is.
But it could just be like, I will...
That would work well with my transcendent ability, actually.
I mean, it could be, I will protect Tiffany from herself.
Yeah. All right, I'm putting it in.
But also, the
Remember,
friends
you
forever...
You can always change these.
Yeah.
Like, so you don't have to be too precious about them.
Yeah. I think from that portent I received, you know, that something's going to happen to Tiffany, that he's put it on himself to do that. Okay.
I love this so much. I love that my promises are like, oh, it was beautiful. It's wonderful. I love how I've made Tiffany, her promises are like, my friends are so good. Yeah. This is wonderful. And the other two people are like, the storms will discover the secret of the storm.
Yeah.
And you will not be corrupted by your cruel fate. And Tiffany's like, ah, yeah. What a beautiful group of friends I have. Yeah. Aren't they wonderful?
What a lovely day. Okay.
Riley, were you able to read your promise for Tiffany?
Yeah, so I updated the ones. Okay. For Tiffany, shared promise, one day we'll find out what the voices in the storm are. And for Argos, one day we'll make it to the center of the storm, and I'll be okay and be safe.
Perfect. Okay, so this is characters. We're going to move back to the playset setup. We have a few more questions, and then we're done. Where do we sleep when not traveling? Separate apartments, shared housing, in a field, in the same bed, cryostasis chambers. We don't need to sleep.
Shared.
First impulse.
Shared housing.
Shared housing.
How do you travel? Choose one or two. An airship, hover bikes, sports car, rapid underground excavator, on foot, converted bus, scooters.
On foot?
Hover bikes.
Hover bikes were my second one.
Oh, on foot also works.
I think both. I think
mostly
both is...
on foot, but there are hover bikes for when something needs to go fast or far, but they're not super common, so it's
for special
day when you get to use the hover bikes.
Love it. All right, transcendence. What does it feel like to transcend?
Probably amazing, right?
Like a shiver going down your spine, like static electricity or something. Like, do you want a physical feeling or like a...
Yeah, I mean, feeling emotional, physical. I don't know. Rally, any thoughts also?
You know, when you are listening to music or like you're watching a film or something and there's just a moment that hits so hard that you have those full body chills, that full physical reaction to something so sublime. I think that's what it feels like.
Like euphoria? Like...
Yeah, but like that physiological response when something beautiful or profound happens, you know, it can be taught. It could even be like when you're talking to someone and you just have a moment of realization or like, but I most commonly feel it when I'm listening to a particularly effective piece of music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to a moment in a song that really, really hits and you just get that full body sensation of it's good and it's right and it is profound and beautiful.
So it feels like in harmony. Riley, did you?
I think it feels like a mix of falling into water and dissolving, where that aspect of myself and the world are suddenly indistinguishable. And so it's like walking through a curtain of air or sort of feeling your own sense of self stretch out infinitely.
Like dissolving into sand, but also like putting down roots. Like,
yeah, yeah. Mm. Less like becoming erased, more becoming a part of everything.
Mm.
Awesome.
Feels like transcendence.
What aspect of it is shared by everyone?
The hangover.
Oh.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
What is it shared by everyone?
Oh, like, that was
a moment?
I think that
afterwards?
Was a joke.
Oh.
I mean, I know it was a joke, but like, that's why I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. I'll give you a transcendent hangover.
I mean, I kind of like the idea of it being a rush. Like.
Oh, like a post-transcendent depression?
No.
No, I think like, it like getting away from the hangover idea and just saying it's a thrill, but not like an exciting thrill, but it's
like stepping off a roller coaster.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that can be like a different experience for everybody, but it's still the feeling that people walk away with.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like a breathlessness or something.
Yeah, there's always this feeling of like, whoa.
I want to do that again. Maybe not right now, but I would go back.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not stepping off a roller coaster for everybody, but it is the feeling that I think we're envisioning when we say stepping off a roller coaster.
It's a lot, but it's a good lot.
Yeah. It's exhilarating and you finally catch your breath. Yeah.
What's different for each of us?
I think for Argus, there would be some kind of feeling of fear or some kind of negative feeling when in transcendence. So like a cold chill or like what's a physical manifestation of fear? Like he feels something coursing through his blood or something or it could be heat. I don't know, but something, some kind of adrenaline, fear is the feeling for him.
There is an anxiety alongside the excitement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. Cause there has to be that excitement too. There is a transcendence still.
And so when we say what is different for each of us, how does this fit in like a larger picture?
Well, I guess if we're saying, so we could say how the excitement sits.
Sure. Oh, that's better. Yeah. I was a little confused by the question. that makes more sense.
If it's a thrill and we all feel the thrill, what differs is how that sits in us. So for Argus, perhaps it's like one step closer to a panic attack. It's not there, but like that kind of agitated excitement is sure. present for Argus.
Your transcendence is an expression of your truest self. How?
We still don't know exactly what transcendence is.
Ooh.
That's what we're answering right now.
I feel like
your truest
to build
self.
Off of that difference between Argus, I think it's what Anya feels is her true self, is their true self. It's that erasure of being singular, and instead it's transcendence is obtaining that harmony, right?
So I feel like at this point we should probably make a decision on what transcendence is physically in the world.
I think that's what this question is. Yeah. Your transcendence is an expression of your truest self. How? How is that being expressed?
So at this point, I am leaning more towards the magical girl than the Mecca read.
Me
right?
too. Yeah.
I think it is something, and it might be potentially a storm facilitated transformation. Not necessarily caused by contact with a storm in any particular moment, but some echo of having been touched by whatever it is in the storm that changes the transmissions. Oh, okay. It is a translation of the self into something irrepressible and irrefutable.
Yeah, I'm imagining almost becoming, or either the formation of an avatar over oneself or the self actually transforming. Do you want it to be, is it visible or is it just kind of I want it to be something visible, I think, just for fun.
I think it should be visible. Yeah. I think it is a full on transformation of the self.
Mm.
The physical body is changed temporarily into if we are ordinarily expressing ourselves through the medium of the body is changed to more truly express the self.
Hmm.
Rally, have you any thoughts on this?
Yeah. I think it being so the thought becomes are we talking about the physical process or are we talking about the symbolic process?
And the physical process.
Physical, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Mostly the physical process in this moment.
So in that sense, I always think of the Sailor Moon transformation beam of light coming out of the body as what people stereotypically think of for magical girls. But then there's the Super Sentai putting on a suit or using some sort of focus of power. I'm open to anything, honestly.
I mean, it doesn't need to be a beam of light, but I am more leaning towards the Sailor Moon transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
And in a way, ordinarily, I feel trans moment. I have felt often in my life I have to work to make my physical form conform to myself. And in this transformation, that work is just done. Effort isn't needed. It is resolved. Like, the self is expressed.
Yeah, I'm having trouble envisioning what visually would happen, like the beam of light. But if we're thinking of, like, it's kind of storm related, I'm imagining, like, you start to hear the whooshing of wind until it's overpowering. This, like,
whooshing of wind, and it could even have a literal lightning strike.
Sure.
We want a beam of light.
You know, it becomes so, so, so loud, and then all of a sudden, like, bam, it's, you've transcended. Like, but then again, how would you see the visual change? Like, that could be the auditory change. But yeah, the lightning could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, no one can look at a lightning strike, so no one sees the change happen because there's just this incredible blinding flash of light.
I like that.
And what is left is what is the person.
I'm happy with that.
Like, it's so much. It's excessive.
I know.
And I like it.
Well, that answers my next question. Is our transcendence influenced or connected to the storm? If there aren't any other thoughts on that connection, we can keep going.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Our transgressions. How do we transgress against that which is sacred? As a reminder, the sacred is bravado and power.
I think we're mostly not, we are acting as more as a collective, and we are not seeking reputation or status for ourselves as we do it.
Yes.
Broadly, right? So we're not celebrating the self, and we're not celebrating the power. We're just doing things. So we are,
yeah,
we are acting with agency, and we are empowered, but we are not revering the power we have, and we're not seeking reputation from it.
Yeah. I'd like to add that maybe we also take extra time to reach understanding rather than rushing into a situation or an a conflict or interaction.
We're
or
not looking for a fight.
Yeah. Because in my mind, I feel like empathy, like that takes time, and you need to set aside time for that.
Yeah. Well, that's getting to the next question.
Mm.
Yeah. How do we represent that which is profane? Rally, haven't heard from you in a bit. As a reminder, that's sincerity and empathy.
Yep, I was about to say, I think that comes down to putting people first and focusing on the quote-unquote human impact over the concept of some higher calling, not sacrificing people just because that is something that will lead towards a better outcome, but instead trying to build a better world for the people that are in it now. I don't know if that would be true of all the characters, but I kind of see that as like community focused and like world focused, instead of like, as Cam was saying, instead of it being like legacy or theocratic or any of that stuff. Yeah.
Who do we collaborate with about the storm? So think of, these might be people we interact with on missions. So a central intelligence agency, a crewed orbital satellite, trans-dimensional prophets, a rival group we keep running into, our families, a religious sect, wild animals.
Would this be specific to our downtime versus our obligations, or not specific to...
This is more specific to, like, missions.
Missions, gotcha.
Yeah, and they might show up during other phases, but this is, like, who do you collaborate with about the storm?
So, and so when you say a rival group, it's like they could be antagonistic towards us, but still collaborate. Like, in general, there's a net positive effect to interacting with these people.
I mean, I feel like that's the low-hanging fruit, right? Like, the one that's most obvious is, if we are storm chasers, in a manner of speaking, then other storm chasers, some who are seeking to build out collaboratively, and some that are competing because of their renown focus. But the goal is the same, to understand. It's just, yeah.
And maybe just they have different, like, they could be semi-religious, or maybe more culty, or we're more culty, or, you know, that's also something we could keep in mind. Like, there's a reason they're a rival, right? Like,
Well, it doesn't have to be necessarily, it says a rival group, but we're not restricted to just one, right?
Just like, how many characters are you going to be interacting with in this campaign, you know? Last questions, and then we get to pick abilities, and then we're done.
Okay.
I'll just read all the questions. So the questions are, what do we wish to change? What do we dream of doing once we have fulfilled our goals? What does a better world look like to us? So, like, if your character had no responsibilities, what would they be doing?
When I think about, like, if I'm thinking from my character, my character's family's perspective, I think they would want to value the quote-unquote simple life, or the something about like the value of small communities or of harmonious
value harmony.
Yeah, the, is harmony, is that too simple? Like just valuing harmony of the people in the land or something?
I mean, I feel like that kind of is where my character comes from as well, is like the living in the now, valuing life and community and happiness, and very wishy-washy, but the important things in life over ambition.
I think living in the now,
although I know that kind of runs. Yeah.
No, I think it runs well for my character as well, who is so stuck in the future and fearing the future. Wishing
and then
to
there's
live.
Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And there's ambition like, there, but...
Yeah. What does a better world look like? I also think understanding for the sake of understanding, whether that's empathy or knowledge, but just know people for the sake of knowing people, understand how the world works for the sake of understanding how the world works, not for the purpose of power or authority or reputation. I think that's the big thing I'm seeing is that kind of understanding for the sake of for its own sake.
What do we wish to change? It could be like the people around us, the places we visit, the relationships we build, or other things, but just as examples.
The value of power?
Or could that be also said as in like change what is valued? Like
to help show the world that power is not what's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or like the value of power is instrumental.
The value of power
in
is
pursuit of other. Yeah, you know, like power is only as valuable as what it can do.
Okay, that's
and
different.
It is,
yeah.
It is what is done with it that matters, and we need to care about and value what is done with it and make meaningful decisions about what we do.
Yeah. Power is instrumental sounds like control is key, but you're phrasing it very differently, and I'm glad that
yeah,
you made
sorry,
the distinction.
I'm thinking of like the notion of
power is just an instrument. Yeah.
Well, no, like if something is, I'm thinking in terms of in ethics, there are, and I don't remember the other term, because it's instrumental good, and then there is another sort of good, and it's like the things that are good unto themselves and the things that are good in pursuit of the things that are good unto themselves, right? Like it's instrumental in getting somewhere else. It is not itself valuable. And it's like a common thread in talking about people is that, you know, people are valuable unto themselves and not as instrumental values. And so this is like the reverse of that. Power is not inherently valuable. It's only valuable in what we can do, like what can be done with it. And so the focus is on these more absolute values. I think this is Kantian, but it's been a very long time since I read Kant.
You know what isn't Kantian? Picking abilities. Let's do that.
Sounds good.
Let's go. You got this. Thanks for keeping us on track.
So the last thing we are doing, we're going to pick one series ability and one transcendent ability. The series abilities, I won't read all of them, but I'll read the names and then you can tell me which ones are most interesting and then I'll read those out loud. Team players, connected hearts, never alone, supporting actors, trauma bonding, no plan is the best plan, darker destiny bond. The only one I took from other playbooks is never alone, which is from the At the Edge of the Abyss.
I like Never Alone. I like supporting actors, and I like Darker Destiny Bonds, personally. I would be pulled to no plan is the best plan, but I don't feel like that works for the sequence that we have. So,
is it not?
I mean, it's everyone has ambition, but I think there's caring built in. So caring usually means that there is a plan.
Not necessarily. Like, having big picture care and being reckless in the moment are utterly compatible.
While people think, I'll read them out loud. So, Never Alone says, protagonists may use teamwork regardless of the distance separating them. When you assist a teammate from afar, ask that player one question about their character from your gather info list. Supporting Actors says, when giving an assist to a teammate, you may spend 2 stress to give plus 2D. When you use a link to help an ally, they also clear one stress. No plan is the best plan. When factoring your engagement role, if you answer yes to, are the protagonists acting rashly or on very little information, you may ignore the minus 1D penalty. Darker Destiny Bond, if a character is about to die, a different character who is transcended may fill their stress bar completely and go into Eclipse to save the other person from death. The saved character is then safe, but out for the rest of the mission. There are a lot of mechanics here that I haven't explained yet, because I'm trying to only explain them as they come up. But as they are now relevant, let me give a very brief detail on some of these mechanics. So, gather information is a move that you can do that is usually what is called a fortune roll, means no bad things are going to happen to you if you fail. And that's just for like getting information. It's pretty what it says on the tin. When you assist a teammate, normally you'd spend 1 stress to give plus 1D. The supporting actors lets you spend 2 stress to give plus 2D as well. A link is something you gain from downtime between characters. It's like something that helps basically represent the relationship. You can spend these links to resist consequences, and this ability also lets you clear 1 stress when you do that. Or like it lets the person you're helping actually clear 1 stress. Engagement role is what we roll at the beginning of a mission to determine where the mission starts in terms of position. So if you have a good role, then the mission sort of cuts to a spot where it's controlled, like you're in, like we're at the heart of the action, but like we have it under wraps, versus a bad role is like we're at the heart of the action and things are going really badly. Because the idea is that we are going to be skipping a lot of time and then using flashbacks to sort of fill in what we skipped. And so the engagement role sort of tells us how'd that go when we skip a lot. Stress is what you spend to resist consequences. We've talked about transcended enough. Hopefully that's maybe clear what that is. And then eclipse is what happens when you go too hard while transcended. And eclipse is sort of the worst version of yourself. But you can become the worst version of yourself to save someone else from death. So that's all of them explained.
I would opt against Darker Destiny Bond for the simple reason that I don't have access to transcendence for a while.
Yep, fair enough.
I think it wouldn't come into play as much as the other abilities as well.
No, it wouldn't. And so it, like, between it being fairly limited in its applicability and the fact that one-third of the characters literally can't even if it does come up, it has me thinking not that one, even though it is very fun.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very fun. It's very powerful, but it is very specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm leaning towards
I like
supporting.
Never Alone and supporting actors.
Yeah.
Supporting actors? Let's do it.
Really?
It sounded like 2 of them, right? Never Alone, supporting actors.
I said Never Alone, supporting actors, and Lou said supporting actors. So that's 2 votes for supporting actors. So if Rally agrees.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So supporting actors. When giving assist to a teammate, you may spend 2 stress to give plus 2. When you use a link to help an ally, they may clear 1 stress. I'm hoping this isn't too overpowered. If it is, you're welcome. And I've... just gonna throw even more things at you, I guess. If you're
always
really,
possible
really
to balance
just not
by
struggling.
Just making it harder. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if y'all are just like not engaging with the mechanics of the game and want to, I will do my best. Last thing, transcendent ability. Unfortunately,
oh, this
you can't
is fine.
Get away from this one is not going to impact you, Cam.
It's all good. It'll be there when I'm ready.
Wait, my superpower
it
is
sure will.
Sorry, you go ahead.
So yes, there are three. My superpower is talk good. A strong friendship is the best defense. And Curse of the Storm. My superpower is talk good. Is each protagonist marks a transcendent action dot and confess, express, and conceal. A strong friendship is the best defense is, while transcended, when a protagonist protects an ally and resists the consequences, roll plus 2d, or the protected ally marks one segment of their recovery clock. Curse of the Storm is, while transcended, when you eclipse, you may choose to gain an additional full bar of 9 stress to spend. When you spend stress while in eclipse, you first spend stress from the additional bar. You do not escape eclipse until you complete your normal escape condition as well as the additional condition. You escape eclipse when you carry out the will of the storm at least one time. When you escape, if there is any remaining stress in the additional bar, subtract half the amount, round it up, of the remaining additional stress from your regular stress bar. Now, the last one's a lot, but just to summarize it, since we haven't engaged with the mechanics yet, is you can become more powerful at the cost of giving up your will.
I like a strong friendship is the best defense.
That's fair.
Curse of the Storm is crunchy and fun, but a strong friendship is the best defense works well with our group. It also, like, lets
very strong
an untranscended me still interface a little bit, because it means being reckless further emboldens my allies, because if they protect me and resist consequences, they get benefits, or I can recover faster if it's me that's being protected, and I'm probably going to get protected a lot. So it synergizes nicely with me while also buffing up my transcended allies.
Yes. One question, the transcendent action dot, when you like in superpower talk good, that one, if you have a transcendent action dot, that only comes into play when you're in transcendence, that you can add an extra die. Is that correct? Or is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That is correct.
Then I'm leaning towards the second one, too. The first one's fun. It is.
First one's quite fun.
But it's less interpersonal, which I want to encourage. So
yeah,
my
it's
second
just,
one is
here. Have a little buff when you're transcended.
Yeah. It's
like,
know,
it's
whatever.
A good one.
Really?
It's one of those things that's always a good idea, but never flashy.
Yes,
I think the second makes the most sense, just because it is more visual, and while the third is very wordy and mechanically it seems like it would be pretty fun, I think in terms of a story of us telling a story together, the second makes the most sense. So I think we will have more fun playing together with the second, whereas I think the consequences of the third is the most interesting. The first is, you know, that's great mechanically, but beyond that, it's kind of meh.
I think, as Cam said, the first is always good, but not very flashy. I feel like the third one is usually not good, but boy, is it flashy.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good way of summarizing it. Yeah.
The second one's just kind of powerful. The second one's just like I'm seeing the two that y'all picked. I'm like, are y'all gonna be OP? I'm good with it.
I feel like
I'm
here's the thing.
Like,
we're gonna be OP in the very specific context of when we are helping each other and protecting each other. So if we're ever acting for ourselves, we're kind of bad.
And you know what? That's exactly what I was going for with this playset. Is like, I really, really wanted to be like, you are stronger together.
And we've leaned into that with everything we have.